I could care less about this show.
I'm kind of meant for the podcast audience.
Oh, no one listens to this podcast.
Why are we doing this? Why am I staying up so late?
Because I like to listen to them while I'm going to sleep, so it sounds like I'm talking to you guys and we're having a sleepover. A lot of fun.
It's the only way you can go to sleep at night.
Yeah, you're whispering sweet nothings in my ear.
It's so creepy.
It is.
God damn it! I get it!
It was just crap. It was terrible.
I was titillated.
I know you want to go.
No, I slept with like three girls a night and no one ever said anything.
Dude.
Oh god, you guys are disgusting.
Boring.
So boring.
That is an amazing film.
Ooh, I love me some Statham.
That's a little bit of brilliance that just came out of your mouth there, Justin. I like it.
Do you want to keep going?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, geeks of all ages, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. I'm Justin Cavender, and as always, I'm joined with Amanda and Randy. David's not here this week, but we have the mighty Jer joining us. Thank you for being on the show. How is everybody doing today?
Good.
Fantastic.
Trying to stay warm.
Oh, yeah, you got hit with like the North Pole or something, right? You guys are
got hit with the whole pole.
Yeah. It's
oh my god, you guys, it's so cold over here.
Oh,
it was like 60 degrees today.
Oh my god, I hate you so much. It's like negative 15 outside right now.
Oh my god. We had the Santa Ana winds. I was in shorts and a t-shirt today. Outside. And oh man, I got stories for you. But I will let you finish your story of ridiculous cold Hoth-like weather first.
It's not a story. I don't know. I just kind of feel like George R.R. Martin was like goddamn Nostradamus or something. Winter's coming and it sucks.
That's too bad. Did your Tauntaun freeze to death outside?
It did. It did. I'm about to climb inside to stay warm.
That works, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Doesn't have to be a Tauntaun. It can do anything, any kind of roadkill you find on the road.
Oh.
You know, a dead noisy hooker. Neighbor. Whatever, yeah, dead hooker, yeah. Whatever body you happen to come across, slice it open.
I hear Maryland has those. You know, I watched Homicide: Life on the Street, and that took place in Baltimore.
That was a reality show.
Yeah. There's some edgy neighborhoods in that there, Baltimore.
You're not kidding, man. It's a little sketchy sometimes.
I like it.
That is the way Justin likes it. The sketchier the better.
They do not call me Edgy Armo for nothing.
It's true.
So, Randy, you have some exciting news. Why don't you lay it all out for us?
I have some amazing news. Yesterday, Sunday, we just started shooting nonstop to Comic-Con. It was our very first day of shooting, and it was insane. We had a cast and crew of over 50 people there, which may not sound like a very big group of people to someone in the industry, I guess. But for a small, intimate restaurant scene with like two lead characters, it was insane to have so many cast and crew there. But we shot some amazing, amazing, beautiful looking stuff. And the first few days of the shoot, we're all shooting kind of locally to where we live in Orange County, and then this Saturday, we're actually moving up to LA to Air Hollywood to shoot all the stuff that takes place inside a plane. And for those of you who do not know about Nonstop to Comic-Con, it is an awesome comedy movie that is so incredibly geeky that you can't help but love it. And it's all about a bunch of geeks' journey to Comic-Con for the first time. And it's kind of a road trip movie, and it's awesome. And a lot of it takes place in a plane, but we're shooting all the really fun stuff that takes place out of the plane right now. So it's just an amazing experience. David co-wrote it and is co-directing it with me, and we have just the most gigantic crew of awesome, talented people working on this, and we get to work with some of the cast that we've worked with on previous films, and it's just gonna it's so much fun. And it hasn't become really stressful and hectic yet. We're still only on day two of 14 days of principal photography for this thing. And when you think about it, we're shooting a 90 to 95 minute movie in 14 days. And that's kind of insane how much we have to get through, especially once we get to shooting on the airplane sets. We're going to be just going at a breakneck pace and trying to make it look amazing every step of the way. And so far so good, but I think we're still on an adrenaline high. Ask me again next time I can podcast with you guys, and it might be another story altogether. Unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to miss at least next week for sure, possibly the next two, because we're going to be working kind of late nights when we usually record the podcast. So I'm going to be neck deep in geeks and porn stars on a plane.
I like it.
Yeah.
What do you got going on, Amanda? What's happening in on the boob tube?
Well, this week, a lot of new shows and season or carryovers from last season are going to be starting up again. And one of the ones that we've been looking forward to is Syfy's Helix. And in order to, you know, hype it up a little bit more, Syfy released the first 15 minutes online, which you can watch on geeklegacy.com. And so I took a look at it to see whether Helix would be worth watching. And even though it's a little silly, like some of the relationships between characters, I felt myself drawn into the mystery of what this outbreak is and how it's going to evolve later in the show. So I'll be tuning in on Friday. Did you guys watch it?
Yes.
Yes.
Negative. And
damn it, that's Randy. Okay. I don't know. I liked it, but I don't want to get sucked into another big budget, high concept, sci-fi mystery show that's going to inevitably get canceled before they get to revealing what the hell is going on. I can't take it anymore. I've been burned too many times.
Yeah, they have a bad reputation for doing that.
Well, it's not just them. It's any sci-fi show or any high concept, big budget show on TV that I like will
Flash
get
Forward was one of them. That dinosaur one. That I don't Terra remember Nova. The name of it. Yeah, that one. Yep. I never watched it, but
it always gives you a cool cliffhanger. I'm like, yes, there's a train on this planet with dinosaurs. Wait, oh, it's canceled, and I'll never know what the hell the point of that. I don't know.
Dino train.
Yeah, I definitely get what you're saying, Jeff. That, you know, all of these high concept science fiction or supernatural shows get started up, but then they just don't find an audience. I feel like Helix has a pretty good chance of finding an audience because it's kind of also piggybacking on the whole outbreak zombie sort of thing. I mean, it doesn't have anything to do with zombies, but it's that idea of there being like an outbreak and like a disease that people might not be able to escape from. And I feel like the zeitgeist currently is really into that sort of thing. So it probably has a good chance of getting picked up again. But obviously that really depends on what the first few episodes are actually like. I think it's easy to pack in a lot into 15 minutes to lure people in, but whether it can really carry it beyond that,
right,
obviously it remains to be seen.
Also, I think that the pacing on the show, I don't think they have much time because it's all about containing the virus. And I think it's a 13 episode like story arc, and I think it actually takes place over 13 days. That could be mistaken, but that's pretty much what I gathered from their little press conference at Comic-Con, was that it's basically a 2-week event, and they have 14 days to contain this thing. Otherwise, it hits the fan. And then season 2 would actually take place in a whole different area. Assuming that it gets a second season, like you guys are talking about, it's actually going to be more like, what's that show?
Like 24?
Yeah, or like American Horror Story, where it just takes place in this whole kind of different other area. The whole idea just picks up shop and moves somewhere else kind of thing. And I think that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it manages to get picked up, then that might be enough to keep refreshing it, even though it's still dealing with the same subject matter season over season.
Yar.
I think that's a problem. One of the problems with The Walking Dead is that, how much longer can we do this?
Well, if you look at the comics, Kirkman's going to go forever. That shit's never going to end. So
Gross.
Don't get me started. Anyway, with Helix, though, what did you guys think about the title music? I thought that was the coolest part of the whole
elevator music.
Yeah, it was like this 50s Leave It to Beaver jingle that came after that creepy scene. I thought it was pretty effective. I dug it.
Yeah, it was neat. And I think the show, rather than dealing with flashbacks, we had talked about this over the summer, too, is it's going to have hallucinations. So given the look that, what's his name, Peter or something?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention
the look that he was giving his brother, like he didn't know who he was or recognize him, made me think that he's already starting to hallucinate, and maybe either later in that episode or revealed at another time, we'll see what he's seen. Mm-hmm. I think that could be interesting, too. Because he's like, you know, you're lying, everyone lies, you're all liars, it ended with something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, what are you seeing right now? Because your face is all veiny and gross, and you got black blood. You got problems, buddy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Grippy.
Yar. So are we all going to watch it? We going to tune in?
If I remember.
Nope.
I'm really... if only sci-fi just, like, put their stuff on Hulu, I'd watch so much more of their stuff. I can't remember to watch things most of the time.
If it lasts a whole season, looks like it's going to come back for a second one, or maybe once the second one starts, then I'll just block watch the whole first season.
There you go.
Yep.
Binge watch.
That way, you know, you can be guaranteed that it's going to be around at least for a little while to resolve some kind of storyline. That way you don't just get cock-teased, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
To what?
So another TV thing that came out today was the Machinima announced that they're going to show the first episode of Black Sails a week before it actually airs on Stars, which for those of you who don't subscribe to Stars, that would definitely be helpful.
I agree. You find out if you should subscribe.
Right? Or invest the time to, you know, obtain it through other completely legitimate means. And so that show is going to be about pirates in the 1700s. So basically Pirates of the Caribbean for the TV. And I guess it looks pretty good. If you want swashbuckling action, you know, this is the show for you.
Right. Shit. I wonder how much money they're spending on this, because
it looks pretty slick. Yeah,
it does. I'm curious how many, like, sea battles they actually have, or if it's just going to be, you know, two ships in a parking lot where they're roping back and forth.
Or there's just going to be a lot of smoke all the time.
Yeah.
Because the ships are on fire.
Right. Or battles in, like, the different ports, like, mm-hmm. where they're just running around in the cities.
But since it's on Stars, there's going to be plenty of sex. So
yes.
That'll make up for any bad production value.
I like it. They just call the people from Spartacus to come back, show their goods again. That show is naughty. Did you guys watch Spartacus?
The first season.
Yeah, I watched the first season.
Man. It was like...
It was basically porn.
Yeah, it was. I'm okay with that.
And, yeah, I was good with it.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's my watch list.
Xena shows her titties on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy Lawless, she has a name.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Did you guys ever read Treasure Island or watch the movie or anything like that?
I'm sure I read it in college, but I don't remember.
Long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, I never made the connection until today that it was same character.
Oh, wait, no, I'm confusing it with Robinson Crusoe. Never mind. I've never read Treasure Island.
Yeah. Well, Captain Flint, it's his treasure that they're after in Treasure Island. And Captain Flint is the star of the show. So that should be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. I'm kind of, maybe I've got my hopes too high, but did you guys ever watch Deadwood?
Yes.
Like, I'm hoping for it to be a show like that, not Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, less Johnny Depp and less silliness and more foul-mouthed grittiness. I don't know.
Makes sense. I mean, that's the show to do it. They're pirates, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I kind of hinted about this when I posted, too, is that, you know, he Captain Flint has a young sailor in his crew now who's John Silver, and he ends up being like this ruthless son of a bitch when it's all said and done in Treasure Island. Mm-hmm. So he had to learn that from somewhere. So I think if they play this Captain Flint as kind of this dickish anti-hero super pirate, like he's so notorious for being, then I think it could be a lot of fun.
What else? Oh, Netflix released another trailer for House of Cards, which is going to premiere on Valentine's Day this year, and then somewhat ironic twist.
Right.
Since it's not really the most romantic television show. Unless, you know, you think that Frank and Claire's, you know, relationship is super romantic. You know, it's the way that they'll stab people in the back for each other.
I guess, yeah. They're not really romantic towards each other. They're just...
No.
It's all a ruse.
Well, like, I kind of touched on it when I was writing up a story about the trailer, but I feel like they really do care about each other, but part of that is based on the fact that they are both very ambitious, and they know that they can trust each other to keep the machine going where they want to be headed. Mm-hmm. Which is why, you know, in the first season, when Claire didn't do what Frank told her to do, he was so furious, because it was like, they depend on each other to have each other's back. And then when she didn't have his back, it was just like more of a betrayal than the fact that she sleeps with her little like boy toy.
Right. The photographer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was brutal. And then he had to improvise, and then people died.
Mm-hmm. No bueno.
Crazy.
That's it for me. Or that's it for TV.
What?
Ooh. I almost forgot. Actually, I also wanted to talk about how there's a bunch of new shows that are starting this week. So if you are interested, there is this miniseries on ABC called The Assets, which is about these CIA agents in the 80s. So if you want to watch a spy drama set in the ridiculous 80s, head over to ABC on Thursdays.
You said it's a drama?
Yeah, it is a drama.
Cool.
So it's a period piece set in the 80s.
I like it.
Intelligence. Sawyer's back on TV, you guys. Josh Holloway fans. He's going to have a computer chip in his brain. And I guess that makes him super smart. And the show's called Intelligence.
Starts like Johnny tomorrow. Mnemonic?
Yeah, like Johnny Mnemonic, but, you know, with someone who can act.
He had a 320 gigabyte brain. It's almost a third of a terabyte.
That was unheard of.
I don't know why they didn't just round it up to a terabyte. That would have been way more impressive. What else? Killer Women, which is going to be speaking of Battlestar Galactica, starring Trisha Helfer.
Oh, she the one in the red dress all the time?
Yeah.
Six?
Yeah. She's going to be playing a Texas Ranger, so that seems interesting.
She's tall. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
No joke there. I just wanted to say that she was tall.
And then Helix on Friday. And for the rest of the shows that are starting this month, or new shows that are starting this month and in months to come, I'm going to be posting a brief list of the ones that I think sound the most interesting. So you guys should check that out. Yeah.
I'm excited about Shameless. That comes out next week. It'll be season 4. But those goddamn Gallaghers, man. They're an edgy bunch. I never watched the one in the British version, but I like the Showtime version. I think it's good. Check it out.
Do it.
You have no way of watching it. That's the thing. I hate how these shows on premium cable channels don't really make it to streaming services like Netflix or Prime. It's unfortunate.
They will eventually. They're going to have to break down. It's got to happen.
Yeah. I just really wish that people would be able to buy just like the HBO Go service.
Yep.
For like $10 or whatever.
You know, I don't understand why they're holding out so hard on that.
I don't either. I mean, Game of Thrones is the number one pirated show in the history of the internet. And it could stop that by just making it be $10 for everyone to watch.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal?
It's craziness.
It's like, help me help you. I want to give you my money, but I don't want to go through my cable provider.
It's so bizarre. I actually was having this issue because I wanted to watch The Assets because it actually already started. And I thought I could just go to Hulu and watch it. But for whatever reason, ABC has just thrown up all kinds of crazy barriers. Like, it's not available on Hulu. You can't watch it on their website unless you subscribe to cable.
Right.
And because you have to be able to log into your cable provider account in order to watch it on ABC's site. And then even when I did that, it kept redirecting me as if I had never logged in. And so then I went to Xfinity to try and watch it there. And then freaking Xfinity told me that I was in incognito mode when I wasn't, and it wouldn't let me watch it.
Did you try turning it on and off again?
I'm wondering if it's like, I don't know, something to do with Macs. Some things just don't want to cooperate with Apple computers. Just refuse on the internet.
Don't know.
Especially where Flash is concerned. Moving on.
Someone had to do it.
I know, right?
What's going on in movie news?
You want me to take it? I'll take it. What the hell? I could be David for a day. Let's see. Wonder Woman. We're all excited that she's...
Damn it.
We're all excited that she's going to be in Batman vs. Superman. Let me just set this up really quick, and then Jeff, the Mighty Jared, can knock it down. Let's see. What is that gentleman's name? Remy? Jet Remy, I think is his name. He's like the guy that runs this fan website called Batman on Film. And he was going on about Batman news. And he has this little segment called The Mailbag where he mixes industry scuttlebutt, inside sources, and his opinion. And he went on to say that he thinks that in Batman versus Superman, the Amazonians could be members of the Kryptonians that came to Earth thousands of years earlier and then evolved into this all-female race. And I know, as Jeff has probably read more comic books than anyone else that I know, and I just want to get his take on that. How do you feel about Wonder Woman being a Kryptonian and her people setting up camp thousands of years ago on Earth?
All right, listen. Here's the thing. At first, I just felt the nerd rage welling up inside me. Now, let me clarify. This is not fact. This is his opinion.
Correct.
So this was Twitter went ape shit today. Like, people were going mental after this went live. And it's important to remember that this is just his opinion based on he's connecting some dots in his head. And I hope those dots are wrong. But after I thought about it for a minute, I could see how it might almost have to happen. So the shitty thing about this whole thing is everyone's been saying, give us a Wonder Woman movie, give us a Wonder Woman movie, give us a Wonder Woman movie. And DC's pushback has always been, her history is too complicated. The origin story will be a mess. It's going to be so difficult to get her on the screen, which is bullshit. But regardless, I don't see how this fixes the problem. This flies in the face of everything comic. So immediately all the comic fans are going to give it the big double middle finger. We're already working on half of Superman's fan base being alienated from Man of Steel.
at least half.
Just so many people are still just... I was arguing about this today on Facebook, like an hour before the podcast, with people who had just seen the movie for the first time and were complaining about it. Like, Man of Steel is such a divisive movie for comic book fans. And now we're going to bend Wonder Woman over and do this to her? This is horrible. I don't know. But the fact that they're bringing her into a movie with established characters and there's a story to tell for those characters, I mean, there's going to be very little time left for her origin story. So it's almost like, how else could they explain it if they weren't going to piggyback off of what they've already set up previously in Man of Steel, which in a storytelling sense... I get, but it's a huge disservice to Wonder Woman, and just it takes away a lot of what makes her special. And I don't know, man. I hope it's not true, because I don't want to read the internet if it's true, because it's just going to be nonstop bitching and moaning and whining, and half of it's going to be coming from me, and I don't want to do that. Does anyone care, other than hardcore comic book fans, that they would completely rewrite the history of this character?
I didn't even know her history, so it wouldn't have bothered me at all. All
right, you stop talking to me.
At this point, no, it wouldn't bother me at all. I don't really care one way or another. If she had her own standalone movie, then I like right off the bat, then they could have done it a different way. But since, like you said, since they are bringing her into this for the sake of storytelling, it makes sense. Then at this point, you just have to just kind of write it off. Like, this has nothing to do with the comics, and that's all there is to it. And
can they ever come back from this, though? Like, if they ever wanted to reboot Wonder Woman, wouldn't they? Now they're stuck with this pre-existing cinematic history.
Well, the beautiful thing about a reboot is being able to just erase that pre-existing history.
But they never do. Do they? No.
You know,
stuff over and over.
A lot of times it is, but that's also when it stays true to the, or faithful to the original subject matter. I mean, look at the reboot of Spider-Man. I love The Amazing Spider-Man. Probably better than the first one, you know? It's still very similar, but that's because they both stayed relatively true to the source material. When you stray that far off the source material, all you can do is probably... Yeah, if they were to reboot it years down the road, they'd probably capture more fans for going more based off of canon, you know? I feel the same way when it comes to, like, the new Star Wars movies, for example, because knowing that they're kind of just completely disregarding 20 years of books and expanded universe as if none of that exists when they're going into these next movies, it's kind of heartbreaking once you've become invested in a storyline. Right. And I see that kind of in a similar way as you see your origin stories for a character like Wonder Woman. You become invested in it, and to see all that gone and just wiped away by a small handful of people's decisions to just, you know, put their own grubby mitts all over it while trying to create a story. It's kind of a slap in the face, but who knows? Who knows how it's going to turn out?
I don't know. So Wonder Woman's been around since, what, 1941, I believe. It's not like she's a new character. She's so established, and she's one of the, what they refer to as the Trinity of the DC Universe. It's Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Right.
And they've done Superman and Batman over and over and over in the cinematic universe and stayed true to the roots. And it's just, and I hate to sound this way and for it to come off this way, but I'm going to get so irritated at the feminists who are going to rise up and claim that it's strictly because Wonder Woman is a female character that she's getting the disservice. I guarantee it's going to happen, because I saw it today in small doses on Twitter. It's just going to get exponentially worse should this be the way the movie comes out. So I'm just crossing my fingers it doesn't, and they have a better way of explaining it, because it's just, the fallout's going to be too miserable to read and deal with. I don't know. Damn it.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't think we have anything to worry about. I'm sure that... But see, I'm not speaking for Wonder Woman fans. I'm speaking for someone that's read maybe 18 Wonder Woman comics in his entire life. And I think that she's a fabulous character. I'm just not interested in her comics. And I don't really care how she fits in this movie. I'm going to see it for Batman and Superman.
Done. I get that.
Boom. Done. And then what else we got? Oh, yeah. Michael Bay walks off stage during Samsung's presentation at CES. And it was weird, because when he first walks on stage, he starts talking like he was asked a question and like going into why he's a director. And then the nice man on stage starts talking to him. And then he goes on and on about, oh, I'm I like to give people this great experience, and then he gets flustered because the monitor is off, teleprompter, and then he's like, well, I'll just wing it. And the guy that's talking to him tries to be nice and say, well, what do you think about the TV and how it's curved? And then he loses it. And he's just like, I can't do this. I gotta go. Excuse me, or whatever. And then he leaves. And it was painful. He's only on stage for like 40 seconds, and it is one of the most awkward 40 seconds ever. And I don't know, do you guys think it was just an anxiety attack, maybe, or?
I don't know, man. It's weird, because we expect everyone that's in showbiz to be able to just get up and talk, but he's a director. He's barely a director. Let's be honest. He's not an actor. So, I mean, him getting flustered, I felt bad for the guy, but I could see it happening. Uh-huh. You know, right, public speaking is not for everybody.
Yeah, especially if they pitched the whole thing to him where, like, you just have to be up there for a minute. The whole thing's going to be on a teleprompter. All you have to do is read the teleprompter. You'll be fine. Like, if that's what they told him, then I can see why he just, you know, flamed out the way he did.
It
was still super painful.
It was brutal. I felt bad. And, I don't know. I just feel like it's weird, though, because at the same time, it's like, how many times has he answered the question, what inspires you to make these movies? I mean, can't he just say, helicopters, explosions, America? Yeah.
Oh, right. That was, yeah, his answer was super lame. Like, you mean, why, you can't even talk about your own feelings?
Right.
Articulately?
Yeah, and that was the question. You know, where do you come up with these ideas?
Yeah.
I love helicopters, and I love explosions. I put the two together, and I got a movie. Done.
But you could tell the moment he stepped on the stage, he was already out of his element. Right. Like, he was stammering, like, at word one. Mm-hmm. It was like one of those awkward moments in, like, The Office or something like that, where normally I would laugh at it. It just how just horribly awkward it was, but it happened to me in real life, and it just, I didn't feel good about it at all. Like, normally I would make fun of Michael Bay because, well, come on, but I feel bad for the dude. I really do. And I don't like it. I don't like feeling bad for him. Very conflicted.
What can you do? And then let's see. Steven Seagal, he used to be somebody in movies. There's a little thing going around that he might run for governor of Arizona if that state doesn't have enough problems as it is.
It's the greatest news ever.
Right?
Oh, I want this to happen so bad.
Dude, 61 years old. He can grow a wicked PT. He's got the awesome ponytail action, and he can slap the shit out of anybody. And, what the hell is that show that he has on TV?
Lawman or something.
Lawman?
Yeah.
Now we're talking. I think he means business.
Why do actors insist on becoming politicians?
I don't know.
I don't know either, but I don't care. I want to see him, like, giving press conferences in his slick back ponytail and his black leather jacket and just talking crazy. He'll be the next Jesse Ventura. It'd be amusing for everyone outside of the state of Arizona to watch.
Yeah. And it'll be terrifying for everyone in the fine state of Arizona.
It's already terrifying for people who live in Arizona. It'll be no different.
Yeah, like Valle Papas. They don't like Mexicans in Arizona. There, I said it.
What?
They don't. It's terrible. Anyway, Steven Seagal.
What washed-up rapper is he going to get to be his running mate?
Oh, I don't know.
Who is in all the movies with him? Is Ja Rule or DMX?
DMX. I think he's in jail for dogfights. I'm serious.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't make that up. That's not slanderous either.
I don't think governors have running mates, do they?
I don't know. He's got to have someone. Don't he?
Campaign manager. DMX with dogs that can hunt Mexicans.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, there's going to be some fact-checking happening before you let this
happen. Watch your mouth, son.
I'm just saying. It's not me. It's Steven Seagal. I'm not going to vote for the guy.
You don't live in Arizona. You can't.
I do not.
At no point in my life did I realize that I would be on a podcast Googling why DMX is in jail. But evidently, he was sentenced to 1 year in Arizona prison. It's all coming together.
You guys think I don't know what I'm talking about?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Okay, now that's the real reason why Steven Seagal is trying to go there. He's going to try to get him a pardon.
Oh, clemency. Yes.
What else I got? Oh. Metal Gear Solid 5. Normally, I would say this for the Pixelated podcast, but it caught my attention today because it was got tagged with a sexual violence ratings warning.
Mm.
And that's kind of hardcore because games are kind of just... They seem to be pushing the envelope when it comes to the sexo. And, yeah, we talked about this before after I played Far Cry 3. And there's, like, this crazy, like, hypnotic sex scene that's going on in that game. and it's pretty graphic. And I think this just kind of takes it one step further with, because, you know, they were just making love, whereas in this case, it's actual, like a sexual assault with male characters attacking a woman. And that's very brutal. In this particular case, it's just an audio file, so people will be listening to the attack, and as opposed to watching it. And I think that's probably the right way to go about it, because with today's graphics, I think it could look just way too real and way too traumatizing and offensive. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that. Do you think that there's a place for this in video games, or do you think it should have just been left out altogether?
I mean, I guess an argument could be made, but I just, I don't know. I haven't played Metal Gear Solid, so I don't really know, like, what the tone of the game is and whether it would justify having something like that violent. I mean, people always talk about violence in video games. Like, it's not anything new, but I don't know. I don't like the fictitious depictions of rape in general. Maybe it's because I'm a woman, and it's like,
if rape has to happen anywhere, it's best that it happen in a fictional environment.
But, you know, but then, like, what's the argument for it?
I'm totally just,
like,
being a dick when I say that. I'm teasing.
Thank you for derailing my serious conversation, Randy.
My torpedo has landed.
Fucking Randy.
Well, in this particular case, we don't even know who the female character is. I went on in my article saying that it could be this character named Quiet, who is the scantily clad sniper that had... there was a lot of grief over the internet when she was shown in a trailer where she's just kind of wearing this bikini, and it's like, okay, what mercenary would dress like this? Like, it doesn't make sense, and is Hideo Kojima just being naughty for the sake of being naughty? And, you know, he had tweeted that there's more to this character than meets the eye. Like, don't just judge her by her looks. She's got an interesting backstory, and it's quite possible that this is her character. And maybe she, you know, her name is Quiet. God forbid she doesn't say anything, and we just got to look at her. But it could be interesting to see how that event played into her overall character development.
There is an artistic argument for depicting violence, like, as a storytelling tool. So, I mean, it really depends on how they handle it, I guess. But, I don't know, personally, it makes me feel icky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with Amanda. It depends on the story. I just don't like the fact that these things tend to be applied so arbitrarily. Like, how many hookers do people kill on a regular basis playing Grand Theft Auto? You know, it's just, everyone's desensitized to it now. Oh, that's just part of the game. It's horrible, and I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's gross, too, and in a way, it's its own level of awfulness, because in that case, you're actually given agency to commit violence against women and minorities and people who are helpless. So I don't know. I mean, it certainly doesn't help with the whole sexism in video games, problem. So I don't know what the solution is. I don't understand. I mean, it does feel worse than if something like this is in a movie or a TV show, but I can't quite put my finger on why it feels worse. I guess because you're actually actively engaged in what's happening. That makes it feel worse than if you're watching a film or a TV show that has, like, a point of view and the writer or director has chosen to show you this for a reason.
Well, I think in some ways it's because we still refer to video games as games. Mm-hmm. And that there's that connotation that kind of sits there when you're talking about a game, that it's supposed to be
fun,
uplifting, fun entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm with you. There is the line, and I don't know why it feels grosser in a video game than in a movie, but I think that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I think that's a good point.
And with Metal Gear games, sounds like none of you guys ever really played them, but
no.
they have a very, very strong narrative, and it's very engaging, and as the power of the consoles grows over the years, they've become a much more cinematic experience. So you're not even really playing, you're watching these things happen, and it's, at the same time, it's also an emotional commitment. It's quite a ride, and you know, you mentioned earlier being invested in something, and that is certainly the case with Metal Gear. It's Metal Gear Solid. The first one came out like in 1998, and both Steven Janes and I have been heavily involved. Even Victor, too, one of our contributors. We love Metal Gear more than anything. It's one of our favorite games on each console. Like, hands down, like, bar none, our favorite game in the franchise for gaming. And I am definitely excited to see where this is going. And I just hope that I don't need to take some kind of shower and feel dirty after that scene.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in Grand Theft Auto 5, there was a torture scene, and it was brutal. And you're actually physically torturing somebody. You know, you're breaking bones, you're shocking them, you're waterboarding them, and it's awful. And when it was over, I literally had to stop, like, playing. I just felt so gross and dirty and just ashamed that I was torturing this person. It sounds silly, but it was so real that it was bad. It's like that experiment where the test subjects are talking to each other over, like, a mic and headphones, right? It's a two-way conversation, and they're asking them questions. And if they answer wrong, they get a shock. The person isn't really getting shocked, but the interviewer doesn't know that. And it's kind of questioning, you know, where they lie on the spectrum in their humanity. You know, this person's screaming at the other end after a couple of shocks, like, you know, don't shock me anymore. But they were told that if they get the answer wrong, they have to shock them. And they keep doing it. And it's like, you hope, as you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, I hope I would never do that. And it's just one of those things when you're in that situation, are you that person that would keep shocking this guy? Or would you say, no, I can't do this anymore, we gotta go help this person? No one in this experiment stopped shocking them. And that was intense.
Ugh.
Doesn't that just make you feel horrible?
Yeah.
Goodness, would I do that? I know, I remember just being totally freaked out. And I don't know why this reminded me of it, but it's intense. I don't want games to take me to that stage. I like you said, enjoying myself, it being uplifting, you know, go for the high score. I don't want to feel like a horrible person after playing a video game.
Yeah.
Right there with you, man.
On a lighter note.
Right.
Do we have something lighter to talk about?
Oh, God, please.
We can talk about what movies we're most excited for 2014.
Sweet.
I took the liberty of coming up with a list, a top 10 list of what I'm most excited for. I don't know how you guys feel about this list or if there's anything missing. Feel free to add it, but we can mow through these really quick and then end the show. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. So these are actually in order of when they are released. They're not exactly ranked by how excited I am for them. But coming at number one, or number 10, I guess I can say, is RoboCop. Are you guys excited about the reboot? Yay.
I don't care.
What? Are you robophobic?
No, I didn't grow up like super into it, so.
I'm undecided. I don't know how I feel about them rebooting it. Such a classic.
It is amazing. An amazing classic.
Yeah, and even though it doesn't necessarily hold up all that well, it's still so campy and so fun.
Mm-hmm.
So but violent.
Exactly. I mean, in a way that you could only get away with in the 80s.
Like, when they shoot him, like, 1,000 times? That's incredible. It's like, dude, like, 6 guys unload clips on him.
Yeah, it's like straight blowing his hand off and stuff.
Oh, man, that is intense. Love it. Hot damn. Next one is Captain America the Winter Soldier. Yay or nay?
Oh, I'm excited for that. I liked the first one, even though you didn't.
Oh, I want this in my life so bad. The trailer looks so badass. Oh, and I didn't like the first one very much. I thought it's probably the weakest out of all the Marvel movies. But this one, oh, they upped their game.
Yes, it looks good. I agree with you. I think it's the weakest as well. I think Captain America, he won me over in the Avengers. I thought he was a great character in that one.
Yeah.
And now that he's come to terms with it being, whatever, 2014, you know, he's not so lost in the world and now he's just living in it, I think that's better. You know, he knows what the internet is. We can move on. So, good stuff. Next, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Randy and I love The Amazing Spider-Man, so I know we're pretty excited about this one.
Definitely.
What about you guys? Dude, I saw a trailer on IMAX 3D, and it looked fucking insane.
I did too, but I liked the first half of the trailer, and then it got to the obvious video game inspired scene of him bouncing around things, avoiding Electro, and it was just so obvious CGI. I don't know. I'm worried that it's going to turn into a CGI fest and not be a decent movie.
I'm worried that Rhino's going to be in it too much.
Oh, don't get me started.
We all know how I feel about Rhino.
No, don't get me started.
What a fucker. Oh, jeez. I hate that guy. His little onesie. Anyway, next. Godzilla. I am excited about this movie.
Take my fucking money. Oh, my God. I want to see this so bad. Did you just say meh, yeah. Amanda?
I did.
She's
crazy. I don't understand why everyone's so, like, in love with Godzilla. I really don't get it.
He is the monster. It's it.
He kind of is the granddaddy of all the monsters.
Yes.
I guess I just don't care about monsters.
What?
That's too bad.
You are denying your heritage, first off.
That is super racist, Jeff.
I'm fine.
We were all thinking it.
This
podcast has gotten so racist tonight. Whatever. The trailer is amazing, though.
Oh, I haven't watched it.
Oh, man. You're nuts.
Oh.
Moving on.
You are terrible. Next on the list was X-Men Days of Future Past.
I'm excited for that.
Me too.
Super excited.
Oh, my God.
If only to see them dressed in bell bottoms.
Wow, that's what you took away from it?
I just find it so hilarious. Like, it's set in the 70s, right?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I just find that funny.
You are but, funny.
I mean, I enjoy pretty much everyone that's going to be in it, so. See J-Law, my boyfriend James McAvoy, my older gentleman caller Patrick Stewart.
Next is Edge of Tomorrow. David had joked about this being a cross between Starship Troopers and Groundhog Day. And I think that after watching the trailer, that makes about as much sense as anything. Did you guys watch the trailer for it?
Yeah.
I think it looks pretty cool.
It's different. I dig it.
Our very own contributor, Victor, actually wrote a review of the manga that this is based on. The whole Starship Troopers meets Groundhog Day sounds very apt. I'll watch Tom Cruise in pretty much anything.
Yeah. I decided I'm going to be much more open with science fiction this year. I always hate it.
In what sense? Oh.
And now I'm going to just try and love everything.
Why have more love in your life?
Turn in a new leaf.
It's good, man. Broaden your horizons.
Mm-hmm. Plus, David hates everything, and now I get to like everything. It'll be an interesting role reversal. No longer will I be known as the guy that hates everything. That'll be David. next, Guardians of the Galaxy. Are you excited about this, at least, Mr. Jeff?
I think it looks cool.
I
haven't seen anything.
But the moment I saw the picture, like, I got excited. I don't read that book, and I could have cared less. But, A, it's got Chris Pratt in it, who I love. And it looks interesting. I'm intrigued. I'm looking forward to it.
I agree. I like Burt Macklin.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, he's a cool dude, man. And I think this looks up. I think it's going to be a blast. I like the idea of them just having fun with it. They are wacky characters. And I think that this is a risky movie. And I think it'll work. I think people are ready for this. The Expendables 3. Obviously, because I love Jason Statham. What about you guys? The trailer doesn't really give us anything, except it just shows a bunch of names. But either way, it's like a 15 or 16 character roster. So that'll be cool.
First two were so much fun. You got to come back for the third one.
I agree. I want a bullet count. I think they should add up all the bullets that were fired in all three movies.
Just like have a running tally going at the bottom of the screen, just continuously counting up.
That'd be sweet.
Sometimes by the hundreds, you know, for machine gun fire in excess.
Make it a drinking game. Every time a gun's fired, you gotta take a shot.
Oh my god.
You'd black out before you even got 20 minutes into the movie.
You'd black out before the opening credit sequence is over.
I think that'd be sweet.
I'm not really one for over-the-top action movies, so I'll probably pass on this third installment, just like I did on the first two.
They're on Netflix. Watch them.
I don't want to. I have better things to watch.
No, you don't.
Yeah, this is a Netflix one for me. I'm definitely not going to spend the money to see it in the theater, but meh. I'll watch it late at night one night.
I like supporting old action stars. Giving them my money.
In their twilight years.
Uh-huh. And I love Terry Crews. That guy is just hilarious. And I like to see everything that he does. Unless it's a Madea movie, then I might have to. But that has nothing to do with him.
Well, that's not for you anyway.
Yeah. I'm not the demographic. Even if I wanted to be. Next, Interstellar. How do you guys feel about that one?
I don't even remember what that one.
It's a Christopher Nolan movie. Have humans, you know, we haven't reached our potential and we got to do more. And ultimately, I think they find like a wormhole in space and they're able to travel far, far away.
Yeah, the trailer shows nothing, but is yet the most compelling thing I've seen in forever. Like, I was sitting in the theater watching that trailer going, oh, I have to see this movie. I have no idea what it's about.
Right.
Don't care. It looks so good.
I think that Mr. Nolan knows how to make a pretty goddamn good movie. According to IMDb, it says a group of explorers make use of a newly discovered wormhole to surpass the limitations on human space travel and conquer the vast distances involved in an interstellar voyage.
I'm down.
Right? It's got Randy's girlfriend, Anne Hathaway's in it.
Yeesh.
Yes.
Oh, man, we dedicated a whole hour to her once.
I must have missed that one.
Oh, it was like 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. We did our first podcast, The Hat Trick Folly, Anne Hathaway. Mm. It was right coming off of Alice in Wonderland.
Oh.
Randy was the only one that saw it and had much to say about her and her mouth.
Go see that movie, Randy.
I didn't actually go see it. I just didn't. I didn't have anything negative to say about the movie. I just wasn't particularly fond of her.
Oh, I thought you went and saw it at the drive-in.
No.
Oh. Well, there you go. I'm a liar. Sorry about that.
God dang liar.
I've been lying all night. DMX smuggling drugs and dead dogs and Steven Seagal beating up Mexicans. Crazy. Wow, man. Lastly, I have The Hobbit, There and Back Again. Of course, I'm the only one that's interested in this movie, too, but I'm okay with that.
I'm interested.
Oh, you are? Okay, good.
Yeah, I want it to end.
Oh, jeez.
Like, no, I mean, I want it to be over so I can watch them together and make an informed decision.
I see. 9 hours later.
I liked the first one. I liked half of the second one. So right now, the third one's what's going to kill it or make it for me. So I want to see how this turns out.
What half did you not like?
All the half that didn't actually happen in the goddamn book.
Oh.
All the extra stuff.
There's a lot.
I know. I wasn't a fan of that. But I did like a lot of the stuff. I don't know. I felt very conflicted about that movie. But I liked the first one. So I want to see what happens.
Everyone was just so upset about it, I didn't even want to go see it after listening to everyone else talk about it. I feel like I wouldn't like it, especially given Dave's criticism that, you know, the story doesn't go anywhere. That would bug the heck out of me.
I still want to know how Dave is getting the title of hater. When you don't like
everything.
You don't like anything, Amanda. Nothing. Nothing excites you.
What are you talking about? I like House of Cards. I just said I was excited
like
about Days of Future Past.
The shitty movie you're excited about.
I only hate things that are bad. Why would I want to spend my time on something that I know will just disappoint me?
I don't know. To make an informed decision.
It's fun.
Is that it?
That's it?
No, I think the three that I was excited about that weren't in the top 10 were The Lego Movie, 22 Jump Street, and Dawn and the Planet of the Apes. Like, I'm definitely invested in that new Planet of the Apes franchise. I really want to see that so bad. But
is Franco supposed to be in it again?
I don't think so.
I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's Felicity.
And Gary Oldman.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, Gary Oldman.
He's always enjoyable.
He's in a lot of movies. You know, for the longest time, he looked different in every movie he was ever in.
He's a chameleon.
Like in the 90s? Like, I never recognized him. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I thought that guy was Dracula. He just always changed. It was bizarre. Like, from when he's Lee Harvey, Oswald, and JFK, then Dracula, and then, The Professional. He looks different in all three of those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Then fucking Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't recognize this guy at all. He's crazy.
Yeah.
How you do that voodoo that you do so well? Crazy cat. What about you, Amanda or Randy? Is there anything on this that's missing from this list?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. You definitely nailed some ones that I am personally looking forward to. Plenty of other ones that are kind of meh on my list too, but we shall see as the year progresses on. I'm just looking forward to having time to watch movies.
Like Nonstop Comic-Con.
Yeah.
2014.
Plug.
Well, that's all I got. What about you guys?
Done.
Done.
Done, son. All right, well, that does it for this week's Geek Legacy Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to tune in to our other podcast. We have the Comic Corner Podcast, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list and rant and rave about all the craziness that is happening in their comic book universe. Then we also have the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen James and myself, and we talk about video games and what's happening in the world of said video games. And be sure to check out geeklegacy.com for all your geek news and reviews. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you stay fabulous.